This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
George Gillum joins me live in studio. I hope you had a nice summer. Grandkids, everybody's well?
Everybody's well. Went to California to see four of our seven grandkids, and I have one word of advice. Don't ever volunteer to take four kids ranging in age from 4 to 10 to Legoland.
Not a good decision, huh?
I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, but that's pretty far up the list.
I didn't even know there was a Legoland.
There is a Legoland.
Is it like an amusement park or like a museum? Or?
Yeah, no, it's an amusement park. It has rides and Eiffel Tower made out of Legos.
You're kidding. But so let me ask you this. Is two kids okay? Was it four that did it, or would one have worked? Legoland that did it?
Legoland. But you know, the kids thought they'd died and gone to heaven.
Yeah.
They loved it. Rides and junk food. And
oh,
all
yeah.
That stuff,
so. Yeah. Well, I take the kids over to King's Dominion every summer. And I went to King's Dominion as a little kid in the 70s when it was brand new. And I still enjoy going there. It's still a thrill to you know, drive into the parking lot and walk in. And of course, they're bouncing off the walls of the car. They love it. We have a good time. Speaking of a good time, the Miller Center of Public Affairs continues to offer those of us here in Central Virginia a wonderful schedule of free public events that you produce and you coordinate, the Public Forum series, which is, right up there on the list of one of the things that makes this the best place to live in America. You can go over to the Miller Center on most afternoons and enjoy a wonderful nationally recognized speaker. And that starts up very soon, doesn't it, for the fall season?
We actually started yesterday with our former director, Philip Zelico, talking about nation building, and he did a very, very clever thing. He said, you know, the United States has had a lot of experience with nation building. We built this nation one state at a time, every one of them different, every one of them sort of springing from different roots with different local traditions and needs, and they got to a certain point, and then they petitioned the Congress to become members of the United States. And he drew lots of lessons for what we should be doing around the world. The big one is let the locals get it to a certain point, and then go in and provide what the missing ingredient may be. It may be banking services, it may be security, whatever. But we, according to Zelico, cannot simply undertake to go in and change a nation top to bottom.
We're talking with George Gillum of the Miller Center of Public Affairs. 977-1070 is the phone number. That's really it's a really compelling point, because I think we live in a time when it's assumed that with the right number of tanks and guns, we can fashion any part of the world into our image.
Well, we should have learned that lesson by now. It just hasn't worked. It's the places where we have successfully assisted nation building have been places where the local people have come up with the ideas and done most of the heavy lifting, and we've come in and provided sort of whatever the missing ingredient is. He cited South Korea, for example, as one of our successes. There were two or three others, but South Korea is the most notable one.
Yeah, which has certainly prospered by and large.
He said if we had not been there to provide security, they would have been wiped off the map.
And could very well be looking like North Korea does today.
Yes. But the local people there got things organized and asked for our assistance, and we provided it.
And the cultural institutions, the institutions that are critical for success as a modern state, they sort of already have to be there, arguably, don't they? I mean, we can't just imprint them on a medieval culture that's still existing under the power of, you know, provincial warlords.
Yeah. You know, we look at something like the Marshall Plan, which was successful, and we say, why don't we do a Marshall Plan for X or for Y? The reason the Marshall Plan was successful was that all of the personal relationships among members of the business and industrial manufacturing communities were in place. The banking systems were in place. The relationships between bankers and manufacturers to provide credit, all that stuff had been in place in the 20s and the 30s. It was interrupted by the war. But if you look at who was running major industries and banks in Western Europe after the war, pretty much the same people as were doing it before the war. And they didn't have to be taught what to do, how to do it. All they needed was a little help. Contrast that with the effort to go in and build from scratch an economy in a place like Haiti, where there is nothing but chaos. And they don't have the background, the institutions, and so on. Anyway, all that kind of stuff is interesting to think about.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating stuff. And, you know, nation building is, we used to call it empire. Now we call it nation building. But it really is, you know, I guess in one breath you could sort of say, it's just empire building. We shouldn't be doing that. And then, you know, you sort of pause and think, well, no, if we don't, who will? You know, I mean, that's, you know, we sort of, the responsibility, I mean, we have pulled that responsibility into our lap.
When we were number one in the world in most economic and military measures, we had the treasure to be able to do a lot of things that we no longer can afford to do. And one of the things we have to do is be much more selective where we choose to go in and spend large wads of money.
Yeah. And or lose, you know, in the case of Iraq, lose, just disappear, you know, very interesting.
Well, the Miller Center this fall is doing a heavy dose of very tightly targeted foreign policy forums because that's occupying so much of our attention in the world. On this Friday, Brantley Womack, who is one of the great China experts, will be here. Next Friday, September 10th. Ryan Crocker, who was Bush 43's ambassador to Iraq, a outstanding career diplomat, been ambassador to half the countries in the Middle East. He will be here to talk about the Middle East. On Monday, September 13th, William Quant, former member of the National Security Council, was there at Camp David when the Camp David Accords were being negotiated.
Wow.
Will be here. And then later in the month, September 24th, Ron Dinberg is coming to talk about Korea. I had breakfast with Ron and said, Ron, tell me about Korea. And in 1 hour, he walked me over the history of the Korean Peninsula, its relationship with Japan, with China, Formosa, all that stuff. And I said, boy, this guy is so smart. He can make it all so accessible that I've got to get him to come and get him to come and talk. So he's coming. And then we're going to do some great domestic policy things. John Harris, who you and I both know from days in Richmond, is one of the founders of Politico, the most important political journal in Washington. And Jonathan Martin, one of his co-editors who used to write for National Review, are coming on Friday, September 17th, to talk about prospects for the Obama administration after the midterm elections. And September 20th, Michelle Goldberg has written a great book called The Global Battle Over Reproductive Rights. She's coming here to speak to a luncheon for Planned Parenthood, their big annual luncheon, and then she's going to come over and give a different talk later in the afternoon, 5:30 that day, at the Miller Center. So we're touching a lot of bases.
Yeah, it's very a full schedule, it sounds like, as usual. And I'm sure you've been very busy with phone calls and emails setting all these up.
Yes, yes.
So anybody on your list, George, that you definitely want to get in for the public forums that either hasn't been here in a while or you haven't been able to land yet?
Well, I've got...
Who's on your wish list?
I've gotten very interested recently in the role that religion plays and has played in the formulation of American, both domestic and foreign policy. For many, many years, we thought we were God's chosen people, that we were destined for some special place in the world. And, you know, maybe that's true. In the 19th century, we referred to it as manifest destiny. More recently, it's been referred to as American exceptionalism. We're an exceptional people. And the religious overtones and underpinnings of that philosophy have become very, very important. There's a group of congressmen and senators who are mainly conservative Republicans who live together in Washington.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
In one house.
Yep.
And a guy's written a book about that house and their influence. His name is Jeff Charlotte, and the book is called The Family. And he will be here in the middle of October. And then on April 1st, a priest, an Episcopal priest, very prominent Episcopal priest from California, somebody who I've known for 40 years, 50 years, preached a sermon in 2002 about Christian exclusivism. And I read that sermon one day just sort of cruising on the web looking for interesting things. And I called him up out of the blue, hadn't talked to him in 30 years, and said, what about coming to Charlottesville, doing a talk that combines Christian exclusivism, the idea that we are the elect, we are the only ones who will go to heaven. Muslims don't count. Jews don't count.
Yeah.
What about combining that with American exceptionalism and discuss their combined impact, that thinking, on our foreign policy? Well, he thought for about 8.5 seconds and said, it'll be a challenge, but I'll do it.
There you go. George Gillum with the Miller Center of Public Affairs. This complete schedule is online at millercenter.org. George, thank you so much for being here. There's a lot to look forward to. Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.